Chris Myers from Showtime's Inside NASCAR is on the final lap. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. It's been a great year, and we're looking forward to NASCAR's version of the playoffs, the Chase. We're getting a little bit closer to see who's all in and then who can run for the title.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Chris Myers, fans know him from Fox Sports, as well as Inside NASCAR on Showtime. It's on Wednesdays at 9 p.m., and you are the host along with a real cool cast of characters. How do you keep them in line, or do you?
Well, I don't, and that's the fun part. I mean, we have you talk about legendary names in NASCAR, you know, Waltrip and Petty. And, of course, I worked with Darrell Waltrip on our NASCAR and Fox coverage, and then his brother, Michael, who's a real cut-up. He's very humorous. So Michael Waltrip, a two-time Daytona 500 winner, is one of our analysts on Showtime. Kyle Petty, of course, son of the King Richard Petty, who raced himself a while. And then Brad Doherty, who, you know, was an NBA All-Star, a number one pick out of North Carolina. And I say, you know, hey, didn't you play with Michael Jordan? And he says, no, he played with me. But he's a guy, as a professional athlete, who always was a race fan, NASCAR fan, and race cars when he was younger, although being the size as tall as he was, it didn't fit as well, but he's a car owner now. So that makes for an interesting group of guys, drivers, athletes, and I've covered a lot of different sports. So we attack NASCAR each week and bring you the exclusive highlights that Showtime can get in radio chatter. But we always take a different view and have interesting discussion with that group. So, yeah, sometimes it gets out of hand, but that's kind of the fun of it all.
Yeah, you mentioned the radio chatter. It kind of gives the show a unique spin, and you sometimes have some colorful language. That's got to be different for you.
Yeah, Kerry, we're lucky that it's cable and it's late at night. We don't have to censor as if we were doing the race some of the language. And you know, Kurt Busch recently on the show was telling us about that he understands it's part of the job. But when you're really in the heat of the moment, you got to yell at your crew chief or even complain about another driver, and sometimes upset at these guys get you know are said over the radio. That's the reality of the moment. Just imagine if we could listen in on a NFL headset, you know, the communication without it being edited like they do for NFL films, I think we'd have a different approach. So that's one of the really unique elements that I think you get on Inside NASCAR that you don't get anywhere else. And it also helps you understand sometimes the strategy and the gambling involved of, all right, you know, if we take fuel here, we're going to drop back in the field, but we should outlast him if the race goes into an overtime or a green-white checker. So you really do get a sense of what it's like to be a driver in that situation.
We're on with Chris Myers from Showtime's Inside NASCAR, 9 p.m. Wednesdays. And what about Kurt Busch? You mentioned him. What about the whole feud between him and Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, I don't think that's it. It's funny, you know, when you win five straight like Jimmy Johnson has, five straight championships, you just take on different rivals, and Kevin Harvick was one who said he had a horseshoe stuck up his rear end, he's kind of left the end good in it, and he wanted to remove it. But this year, it seems it's a little more Kurt Busch, and I talked to Kurt recently on the Inside NASCAR show, and he said, look, it's not over between us. I'm not fueling it. It's just that there's a score to settle. But he did say that once you get into the chase, you know, where that's your play, you have to race a little bit more carefully. That's not the time to seek revenge. It's more about winning the championship. But that leaves the door open for, you know, so let's see where those two are as they get into the playoff and how close they and near they are each other, because I think it could explode once again.
And we saw at Watkins Glen an interesting rivalry. Boris Said running his mouth off against Greg Biffle. That was interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, Boris Said, I'm glad NASCAR didn't fine anybody for not only the actions on the track, because it was one of those tight squeezes, but the comments made after. And Boris really went off about calling Biffle a scaredy cat, and he'll give him a black eye. And it sounded like, you know, that wrestler talk. And it wasn't imagined. It was real. I mean, Boris Said was really upset about it. And they since have spoken. Boris Said was on our Inside NASCAR show and said, we've smoothed things out, and I won't get into what was said between us. That's personal, but I do think that, you know, I'm not going to go after him anymore. Biffle declined to come on the show at the time that the Boris was on the show, so you can understand that. But, you think about it, it's road rage. If somebody cuts you off, and apparently in traffic, and you see them later on the highway, you get a chance to cut them off, it crosses your mind. And apparently it was deep-rooted to a year before when there was an incident with Boris Said and Biffle. So drivers don't forget, and I think they wait for the opportunity, much like what you were just asking about Jimmy Johnson and Kurt Busch, to kind of deliver, return payback if they can get away with it and make it look like it's just racing.
Yeah, like you said, drivers do not forget, and we learn that time and time again. Hey, what about Dale Jr.? Why hasn't he won yet?
Yeah, you know, it's a problem, and it's been a two-year run here as we're sitting and talking, and he is in the top 10 in terms of points, but a victory. And I think it boils down to Dale Earnhardt Jr. being a very good driver, but just, you know, he's not Dale Earnhardt, and the name and the attachment and the expectations. He's never really been close to a championship. Third is his best. Now he's on the other side of 36. And so even though he's with the best, one of the best race teams, where Hendrick Motorsports supplies the equipment for guys like Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson, he just, you know, I don't know if it's aggressive nature. He's not a bad driver, but he's not an elite driver. And I think that it's so competitive. And it's a fair question now, because he's been NASCAR's most popular driver for 8 straight years. But it's been nearly 2 years, or a two-year window, since he has won a race. And we've had 5 just this year, including Marcus Ambrose at the Watkins Glen race. We've had 5 first-time winners, guys like Trevor Bayh and Regan Smith. So he really should be able to get in there. He felt, you know, he was getting better this year, and from a consistency standpoint, he is. But I guess if I knew the answer as to why, you know, he hasn't won more, then we would help him out. But I think boiling it down, and when you talk to drivers, that's basically it. That he's just not in that elite category of the Jimmy Johnsons and the Jeff Gordons and Tony Stewart.
You mentioned Marcus Ambrose finally getting that first win after his brain fade last year at Infineon. Do you think he's going to be able to parlay that into an oval win?
Yeah, I think at some point it'll come, and it was a win for Richard Petty Motorsports and Ford, and you're right, he should have had. It took him 105 races before that win. He probably should have had that one earlier, and I think he's got the ability to do that, and he's got to inch a little bit more points-wise, and another win would help him to get inside that top 20 so he could make the chase now that he has the victory. He's a guy who gave up a lot, excuse me, in Australia, where he was, you know, thought of like a rock star, to come here because he really wanted to be in NASCAR and make the sacrifices, and finally, you know, he gets the win, and so he's helping, I think, promote the sport back to the land down under. I think he's a guy who just might make the chase if he can get that win on an oval.
Chris Myers is on. He's from Showtime's Inside NASCAR. And Chris, you've interviewed NASCAR, NFL, MLB, BCS, all kinds of personalities. What are some of the a couple of the interviews that might stand out in your career?
Well, you know, a few that jump out. And Charles Barkley, from the early in his days of playing to his early days of retirement, and I could see right away he's a natural and has turned into one of the great analysts. He still is a lot of fun to talk to. Even though I don't agree with everything he says, I enjoy talking to him about whether it's basketball or politics or other sports. And it's interesting, he told me years ago they asked him if he wanted to be an analyst on Monday Night Football. You know, Oliver Dennis Miller, and as much as he loves football, he said no, because out of respect to the players in that league, he thought that wasn't his area, which I respected him for. And Dennis Rodman, it just went into, it's funny, I'm talking about basketball players.
Sure.
But he just went into the Hall of Fame, and I always saw that emotional side of Dennis Rodman. I know he's a different kind of guy, but he really has a good heart, and I think he grew up in a tough environment, and I like that he's compassionate, and that, you know, he was a terrific Hall of Fame rebounder and a very good player, even though, you know, his lifestyle is still a little crazy how he operates. So those were a couple of favorites. And I always enjoyed, you know, interviewing owners, Jerry Jones, George Steinbrenner of teams, talking about how they amass their fortune, but they're like kids when it comes to Mark Cuban, when it comes to their team and the success that they've had. So those are some people along the way. And most quarterbacks are always very intense, whether it's guys like Troy Aikman, who's since retired, or throwing guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I certainly respect how they approach their craft. So there's no way to blanket, you know, all of the different leagues and people. But at the end of the day, you know, people who were raised right, you know, whether they were superstars or not, or millionaires or zillionaires or not, those are the ones you enjoy talking to the most.
And one last question. Can you compare NASCAR drivers to maybe some other sports, baseball players, football players, in terms of their personalities?
Yeah, and I would say NASCAR drivers tend to be, and this has shifted a little bit. The sport's gotten a little younger with guys like the Kyle Busches and the Trevor Baynes and even the Denny Hamlins that have come along. But before, they were much more settled in, family men, mature kind of athletes to interview. Whereas if you're talking to basketball players, a lot of them are you know, 20, 21 years old. Some of them NFL players, if they left college early, 21, 22. Josh Freeman, for example, the Buccaneers quarterback, is 23 years old. So there's just a natural maturity level, a worldly approach to things, where in terms of a conversation, trying to discuss things, sometimes difficult with athletes from other places. But NASCAR drivers tend to to be a little bit more down-home family, and you know, we can all relate to our cars because we all drive at some point or another, and I think that makes them a little bit more accessible, easier to talk to.
All right, Chris Myers, you can check him out Wednesdays on Showtime's Inside NASCAR at 9 p.m. Chris, thank you so much for the time. It's been an awesome pleasure to talk with you.
Anytime, Kerry. Thanks for having me on.